This is Leafs Breakfast.
Chipped ahead by Bunting. Marner looking for the empty net. Missed the goal. You don't think everybody in this building knows what's going on? He does it again. Marner with an empty net. Scores! Holy mackinac, he did it! 18 straight games, tying a Leaf record.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time now for Leafs Breakfast right here on First Up. I'm Matthew Cause in for Aaron Karolnik. That is Carlo Koliakovo. Joining us now, it is Mystic Mike. It's Mike Johnson. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining the show today.
Good morning, Cause. How are we doing? And are you rolling along 18 straight Mitch Marner? I mean, tip of the cap. Anytime you set a franchise record for any of the original six teams in any capacity, you're doing something pretty special. So that was very cool. It was an empty netter. He missed the first attempt. You're like, oh, no, he's actually not going to get it. But he gets it, and sometimes you need a little good fortune. If we remember, back when Patrick Kane set Chicago's franchise record a few years ago, and it was like 22 games to start the season or something like that, he must have got a half dozen on empty nets there from like 15 to 22. So sometimes you need a little push with an empty net, and you'll take him, right? Like, they count just the same. So good for Mitch Marner, good for the Leafs to get him it. And now maybe one more, and then, you know, he'll keep trying, but then at least he'll have it all to himself.
Yeah, well, and I guess, sorry, Matt, I guess that's the beauty about being a good team, right? You give yourself more of those situations, because if you're leading in those games, you give a chance to the other team pulls their goalie, which is what we saw last night. But could you, when Marner had that first chance, when Matthews passed him the puck in the neutral zone, mm-hmm. he was over the red line, could you believe that he passed that puck instead of throwing it at the empty net?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you're like, wait a second, just shoot it. But, you know, right. he passes it. But he also, you know, he gets, it's an assist, it's a point streak, not a goal streak.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
he gives it to someone, they shoot it in. If he trusts, that's the better play. And, you know, in many ways, like, that sums up who Mitch Marner is. Like, he's not going to force it. He's not going to try to score goals just to score goals. He's just going to make the play that is appropriate in his mind. But sure, I'm like, well, hey, just shoot it yourself. Like, take it yourself. Don't be passing it around. But maybe we shouldn't be surprised, because that's kind of that's the way he plays. He plays by doing what he thinks is the right play all the time.
So it's funny and it's ironic that the game they played last night was with their retro jerseys, and the proceeds that were going to be going, the jerseys are going to be going to auction, the game-worn jersey, and the proceeds are going to be going to raise funds for ALS. During the broadcast, they were saying that Austin Matthews was the jersey that had the highest bid on it. Wouldn't you think that the highest bid on the jerseys would be Mitch Marner's? Don't you think that would be the one everybody wants because of what it represented?
I would think, given what was happening last night, that Mitch Marner would be the obvious highest bid. It's not like he's not a good player either, but I guess that's the strength of Austin Matthews. And, I mean, maybe somehow I would have thought, you know, maybe William Nylander, a Swedish guy, given Boris Salming ALS and all that's happened in the last month, maybe Willie could have been really high. But, listen, we should not ever underestimate the strength of the brand of Austin Matthews and the brand that has been built with great play. It's not like he's just out there pumping up himself.
I thought it was the mustache for the brand. The brand, I thought it was the mustache.
Well, it's part of the brand, Carlo. It's part of the whole package.
That's maybe not the best part of the brand. Joined by Mike Johnson. Leafs beat the Sharks last night 3-1. Bigger picture, fifth win in a row, 11-1-3 in the month of November. They had the same heater last year. I think the run this year might be even more impressive when you consider the amount of defensemen that have been out and the amount of third-string goalie action for the Leafs in the month of November. I think, Mike, I'm curious your thoughts. You can argue that the heater this year, in a lot of ways, because of degree of difficulty, might be more impressive than last year.
Yeah, well, listen, you take the top three defensemen off any team, and I think almost any team in the NHL, no matter, like, Boston is a great team and Jersey's a great team. You take their top three defensemen away, they're going to struggle. Like, they're not going to rip off, you know, one loss in 14 games, but that's kind of what Toronto's done over the course of last month. So, yeah, it is incredibly impressive. And almost, I'm sure it all feels great, But if you could take a step back, I almost wonder if somehow this year's run is more satisfying than last year's, because it hasn't felt quite as easy. It's felt like they've had to work for it. They've had to find solutions. They've had different guys in and out of the lineup. You talk third-string goalie. I think Shallgren actually is the fourth-string goalie in the organizational depth chart behind Joseph Woll, who was not able to play. So, like, they dealt with some serious roadblocks to have the success, and they figured it out by playing good team hockey, not just by the sheer force of their talent, but by playing together and finding solutions. And I wonder if that is somehow more satisfying, because it was felt more difficult. It's always hard, but it felt more difficult this year than last. And to think, I know there's games at hand and those matter, but as great as Boston is, they have not lost at home. They've lost three games so far this year. Toronto's only 3 points behind Boston. I mean, it's amazing that it's that close. It tells you how great Toronto's played lately to be even within touching distance of the Bruins.
Yeah, it's amazing what the Bruins are doing, man. It really is. You know, considering what everybody thought they were going to go through to start the season, mm-hmm. and now they're the best team in the NHL. But how did you think Samsonov played yesterday in his return to the Maple Leafs lineup?
I thought he was fantastic. I mean, really, you know, he gave up one. He looked sharp, made all the saves he's supposed to make. For a guy who was, he wasn't like clearly announced he was back and ready to play. It was like, he might come back, he might not. They're going to see, and then would he come back and back up? But I guess he was fantastic. And I think it's important, because I think the Toronto Maple Leafs realize that both goalies, Samsonov and Murray, are not guys like Vasilevskiy or Hellebuck. They cannot play 62 games. They have to have a lot of rest built into their schedule. So they both need to play 45 at the most. So I think it's important for Samsonov to get back, to not overrun Matt Murray with fatigue, and then also for Matt Murray to play, to not overrun Samsonov with fatigue. So that will be a nice thing for Toronto, because both goalies, no matter how well they're playing, and whoever you think is the number one versus the number two, if there's such a thing, they both will need quite a bit of rest built into their how many games they start, and now they have the opportunity to do that and still feel really good about the guy they're putting in net when the other guy's not playing. But it will be interesting, Carlo. I know, like, Murray's played well enough to warrant being considered the number one, if there's such a thing. Samsonov played well enough to do the same. So how that rotation plays itself out, and maybe it's almost like split right down the middle and it does not matter, but yeah, I'll be curious to see how that rotation works out with both guys healthy and playing so well.
And again, a credit to everyone in front of these goalies making their lives a little bit easier as well. So, Mike, the next time the Leafs play, it'll be Saturday against Tampa, where Mitch Marner will be looking to set the record. And I'm curious, ask Carlo, but I'll get your thoughts. How tricky is it as a teammate to balance team goals with helping get a teammate slash friend a record? And let me say, a good strategy to win games is get the puck to Mitch Marner, because he can do it on his own. But I do wonder the psychology, because we saw it a little bit on that last power play where it felt like they were forcing it a bit. But just curious what the approach is on Saturday.
I think it would probably be easier cause for Mitch to manage than the team. Like, I think Mitch would probably play normal, straight up, whatever. Like, you know, he gets the puck, he makes plays. Sometimes he shoots, sometimes he passes. Like, he'll just do the same thing that has gotten him the point in 18 straight games. Maybe for the teammates thinking, okay, it's a 2-on-1. Let's get it to him so we get the touch. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. Let's run a power play through him so he gets a touch before we get going towards the net. The best thing would be, if he's going to get one, get it early so that, you know, it's no longer up in the air. But I do think that the tendency to want to make sure he gets a piece of any sort of action towards the net would be there on everyone's radar. How could it not be? Yeah. I mean, you love this guy. He's your teammate, your buddy. You want to have a franchise record all to himself. So I think the players will have to be cognizant. We just got to play. Like, he's gotten to this point without anyone force-feeding anything to him. And he's going to get the 19th game without anyone having to force-feed anything to him. Unless there's an empty net. Then you never shoot in the empty net until he gets the puck. Like, you are not.
you're skating around the ice, just waiting for him to get open.
You take it back behind Gretzky's office and you hang out. They're like, "Where are you, man? Like, get down here. I got to give it to you." But other than that, I think that everyone would be well served just to try to play.
You taking the over under as we let you go, Mystic Mike? You taking the over under points, Mitch Marner, Saturday against the Lightning?
I'm taking the over, man. Why stop now? Ride the hot hand. It's gonna be tough. Yeah. Tampa's playing a little bit better, but he's got to get there. He's such a great player, and it's so much fun for him to do this. I'm taking the over. He's going to do it.
Hell yeah.
Mike, always appreciate. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
You too, pal.
Take care. Baby.
So, Matthew, wait, hold on I'm a second. Not sure.
Hold on. Wait. Can you say have a great weekend when it's Thursday? For a second, I thought it was Friday's show.
Well,
can
you say have a great weekend? We don't talk to him, right? I mean,
I know, but you know,
it's Thursday. We don't talk to him on Friday, so I said have a great weekend.
All right.
Speaking of Mystic Mike and his wagers of betting you over Mitch Marner, me and AK on our Dump and Chase segment yesterday, we predicted Marner over 2.5 shots.
He had
Marner
three.
Under 1.5 points.
Oh!
We were all over the Leaf game. And in another segment I was doing with a close friend of mine, Jingles, he actually presented to me Mitch Marner last goal of the game plus 1,100.
Oh!
And it hit!
Oh, my
yes!
God! Oh, my God. Carlo's buying Lincolns for everyone.
Yeah.
Good job by you, my friend. Good job by you. Hey. Yeah.
What did the Saudi players get? They got
Rolls Royces.
Rolls Royces,
I think they got. Chris is shaking his head. I don't know if he's. Was it a different car? I thought it was Rolls Royces. I've been hearing now the story proved to be false, fake news by us. Hey, you know the opposite of. Well, listen, if we're giving praise, I got someone to give praise to. Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. We're not even going to ask you to donate a car every month. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. That's crazy. And tune into News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for Sick Kids December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. That is a great cause. Go and check that out. And I'm not going to lie to you, Carlo, for half a second, I thought I was going to screw up neonatal. I'm seeing the read. I'm like, I'm going to screw it up. But I nailed it. Yeah. All right, final hour is packed. Vasek Pospisil is going to join us. Ed Werder is going to join us. Are you going to join us? Hell yeah, you are. It's coming up next.